It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This Coaches Show is brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. And now, here's your host, Alan Buck.
And this year, we are introducing a brand new coach in Brad Higginson. Say hello to folks, Brad.
Hey, everybody. I'm Coach Higginson. Excited to be here at Mount Vernon, and great opportunity here for me, and excited to be with you guys this season.
Yeah, we are. This is my first meeting of Brad. We've spoken a few times on the phone, but I'm going to get to know him. And so, Brad, what would you like the people of Mount Vernon to know about your background, your coaching? You're going to be, you know, yelling at their children. So what do you want them to know about you?
Yeah, so we want to create a culture here of what we call an impact. We want our players to understand integrity, mindset, patience, attitude, community, and teamwork. As far as me, I'm not typically a yeller or screamer. I'm trying to be a positive person in their lives and positive role model, family man. Want our guys to understand what it's like to be a great teammate, a great father, a great husband, all those things that come along with that. I grew up in Posey County, went to North Posey High School, graduated in 2003, played for Coach Jingleball. Big shout out to him. He taught me a lot about the game and life. Had an opportunity to play college football and college basketball. Played at Kentucky Wesleyan College and was free safety. Still hold some records over there and what we do. And then got into coaching right after college. Been at the college level for 17 years. Then went to high school for 2 in Tennessee, and then came back home to Posey County.
Do you like high school better than college, I assume, or that's why you're here?
Yeah, a couple different things. The college landscape's changed a lot. The recruiting is now 24/7, 365. There's not as much time off. There's not as much family time. My wife and I, moving back to Posey County, she's not originally from Posey County, but moving back to Indiana in general, having a 1-year-old and wanting to be closer to family is a big part of our decision. And that goes back to being a good father, good husband, right? And teach them what those things look like. That was a big part of our decision. But the main difference between college, is the freedom that you have to go out and get the players that you want. And in high school, you got the players that are in your program that live in this community and area, and just making them, better football players, better young men, and teaching them about, the game and being students of the game and all that stuff.
Yeah, so football is often been described as the ultimate team game. Not only does it teach you how to work within a group and also how to push yourself, all of those lessons that you teach, I've always looked at it as sports are nothing more than an analogy for life. So you're going to teach these kids life skills through the use of football. And that's a terrific, terrific thing to do. The other thing with high school, as a coach, you're going to have to tailor whatever you want to run to the players you've got. You can't go out and get the ones you want to run what you want to do. And that's interesting. The other thing, recruiting in college, you've got to be a salesman more often than you're a coach. And in high school, you get to focus on coaching.
A little bit, yeah. The big difference there is, going out and going to see all the high school coaches and kids. You get to know the different personalities and understand a little bit more about them. At the high school level, it starts, you gotta, I don't want to use the word recruit, you gotta promote your program, from a standpoint of your 3rd grade through 8th grade. That's your feeder system. You've got to go down there and be with those guys and teach them the game of football. So when they get up here, they're ready to go, and you can talk more about life and situations and get more advanced about football because they're already doing what you've already taught your high school guys. And that's one of the first things that we did. When I got here, we had a Mount Vernon only coaches, clinic, and all of our high school coaches got up and talked about what we're going to teach, how we're going to teach it, terminology, trying to get a singular voice. So everybody from 3rd grade up is running our offense, running our defense to a degree. And the verbiage is going to be very similar and the same. Getting everybody on the same page, how we're going to teach, coach, and mentor these young men.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be much simpler at the lower levels, but for them as they grow older, it's just going to evolve. It's not going to be a brand new system every different year and such. That's fantastic. That's going to keep your pipeline full. And as far as promoting the program, that's what we hope to do here through the coaches show and the broadcast that we do. And that's one of the reasons we went ahead and did last night. We were on the air doing it, where in the past, my partner and I have just done it with basically talking to each other on the headsets to try and get our timing back and everything. But it was a heck of a lot better featuring your live performance last night.
For sure.
But that, it sounds like you've really got a good handle on what you want to establish here. The pipeline, I left off my point. Pipeline has been, the coaches previous to you have been working on that, and looks like with the different ages that you've got. Now, we graduated, I think, 16 last year, but you still got good senior representation, juniors, sophomores contributing. The incoming freshmen, we'll find out, you know, who can come up. But doesn't look like you've got, I mean, it looks like you've got a good spread in the ages, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So on offense of our 11 starters, there's a sophomore, there's a junior, and there's a senior at some spot. And on defense, it's the same. So mm-hmm. we got three classes represented on both sides of the ball. We'll have a lot of two-way players this year. We'll be able to build in some kind of sub packages that allow guys to get a little breaks. Because being a two-way starter on both sides of the ball makes for a long night. And trying to keep those kids healthy and keep them fresh and get fresh legs on the field at times and things like that is important. And last night was a prime example of that. You could tell towards the end, we were getting tired, we were losing focus, and we got to condition that through practice.
Yeah. You can only get into such good condition before that, the heat's going to take it out of you anyway. But yeah, typically, and Chris and I talked about this last night, Mount Vernon players, dependably over the years, they're usually in better condition than our opponents. They will go from the opening kickoff to the final buzzer. Doesn't matter what the score is. They're going to give you everything they've got, even if they're overmatched or if they're blowing somebody out, coach has to pull the reins back. We've had a couple examples in recent years when things get out of hand and a substitute player goes in, they're not going in to take a knee. They'll go in, maybe make a big play. Coach will have to say, "Hey, ref, if they do that again, call penalty on us, pull off the touchdown," that kind of thing. But the kids, they're good citizens. They're going to be out there representing the school very well. And like you said, the conditioning, Mount Vernon's always been in better condition than our opponents. That's just, and I hope that continues this year. I don't know.
Yeah, we've been grinding. We purposely didn't scrimmage anybody else this year to try to keep everything in the house, focus on us, give us an opportunity to learn the system, especially on defense. Everything's brand new terminology-wise. Offense won't change much. Riley Snodgrass is our offensive coordinator, and he's done a great job. Obviously they scored a lot of points and things. We just got to find ways to, stop teams and keep games in control and ball control as far as time management and all those things, a big part of it. But we want to continue to teach football. We're still learning how to play, how to practice, and learn our ins and outs of what we do, assignment, alignment, technique, all those things.
Yeah, you mentioned Riley. This is the first year in a long, long time that there's not been a Snodgrass on the field in uniform. They've been, and it's been great seeing the four quarterbacks go through here. It's just been a lot of fun, good continuity. Now, as far as the, you're talking about the kids learning new terminology and playing football. Is that difficult for them to juggle, to try and, get it in their head and respond quickly because, oh yeah, this means to do that versus just going out and playing?
So we were able to slow it down a lot this summer. So okay. When I first got here, we just went offense for a week, defense for a week, offense for a week, defense for a week. So we gave it to them in chunks. So it gave them time to kind of digest it all. Mm-hmm. Like I said, a lot of two-way players, if you try to give them two playbooks on the same day, they're not going to respond well. you know, that's a strategy that we took, and we slowed it down. We probably have about 60% of our defense really installed. I would say we have the majority of our offense, because that's not new to them,
right?
From that standpoint.
Well, it sounds like you've got a real good handle on how kids learn and how they advance. Your previous high school, did they have a lot of players going both ways, or?
We had about 8 that probably went both ways in different realms, but not as much as we're going to have here.
Okay.
You know, I was at a small private high school in Tennessee, and they, I would say, depending on the week, this guy, we may need him because he's maybe our 4th receiver, or we may need this guy to go both ways because we're going to be in a 4-down front this week. So we got to bring another offensive lineman over to be a defensive lineman. So it was week to week, based upon that.
Yeah, that's probably what you're going to find here. But you're also going to have difficulty getting Easton Hall to come off the field. He just wants to play. He's just a workhorse. Same thing, St. Henderson and several others. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll get into talking about specifically last night's scrimmage and those sorts of things, and we'll continue on. And whatever thoughts come into your mind, throw them out there. If there's something you forgot to tell about yourself, throw it in there. It doesn't matter if it's first segment or second segment. We'll take care of it. And with that, we'll take our first break. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show. This is the inaugural show of the season. We are here with Brad Higginson. I'm Alan Buck, and you are listening to 106.7 WMVI. And we scrimmaged Harrison last night. First of all, everybody come out healthy?
Yeah, for the most part. We didn't really have to pull any guys off. Didn't have to send our athletic trainer out into the field or anything like that. So for the most part, we're pretty healthy. I would say we're about 97-98% right now. We got one or two guys that were banged up just from camp, you know, things like that. But for the most part, we're running on all cylinders, you know, from that standpoint.
Okay. And the scrimmages like these, it's not about going out and winning. It's about learning how your team's going to respond against another opponent. I always use an example. This is some years ago. Wrights was scrimmaging Jasper. Jasper had a fullback that was going to go to Notre Dame. Jasper ran him the first series. Wrights could tackle him. He wound up in the end zone after 3 or 4 carries. They never ran him the rest of the night. All they needed to do was see what he could do on the field and how he was going to respond. After that, don't get him injured. Learn about some other things. You all have similar kind of approach to things. You know what you can do. And try things that you need to learn how to do, right?
Yeah. So. My biggest thing last night was just, one, seeing how they handled adversity when somebody else punched them in the mouth, right? Like, it's a physical game. We want to win at the point of attack. I wanted to see how they played when they were tired, too, because we did 3 different sets of varsity and 2 different sets of JV. And our starters were out there to start every series. And that was to get them in the mindset of pushing through adversity, pushing through being tired, you know, and how are they going to respond when they are tired? You know, when do we need to get them a break and those kind of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing where your older players are going to have to show some leadership because, you know, I'd always rather have 18-year-old muscles than 15-year-old muscles playing for me. And the older ones are going to learn how to push through a little bit better, and they're going to have to help pick up the younger ones. But again, you've got a good age spread through the top three classes, and you know, we'll see how the season unfolds. You've got a brutal schedule, but it's a matter of getting your guys all on the same page and executing the things that you do well. Your line, it looked like they could handle themselves out there pretty well. There's a time or two in passing, it looked like Harrison threw the jailbreak blitz on you guys a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's impossible to handle. You got to just get your emergency receiver and just hit him quick and get the ball out of the aim.
Yeah, we just got to continue to prepare. To truly just picking up things, you know, telling out, you know, when guys are going to show on blitz and things and communicate. And that goes back to, you know, sometimes we get tired, we lose concentration and focus. We got to be able to fight through that. We'll work on that, you know, as the season progresses and things. It's more just about the preparation of making sure that, hey, we start to see six-man pressure. We got to get out of this look. We got motion in. We got to go on two. We got to change things that gives them problems to slow them down, procedurally.
Has this team started to take pride, like the offensive line take pride in the fact that they're going to be the ones driving the bus? It's all going to fall on the offensive line. Are they taking pride in their unit as you know, executing properly, and the running backs taking pride in, you know, getting that extra yard, always falling forward, that sort of thing? Receivers, you know, the same kind of thing. I mean, you're a cohesive team,
right?
But the units tend to want to band together and show their worth. Have they started to develop that kind of personality with each other?
Yeah. So kind of two parts there. One, yes, they've spent a lot of time together. They've worked together. They're gelling together. When we did our inner squad scrimmage, we split them up. So they had to work with somebody new and different, which is always good. So
very good
communication. So the positionally, working together and giving them those opportunities. So we actually split up practice to where, our offensive coaches work with the top 22. Let's just stay on offense today, and the rest of the team comes and works with the defensive coaches. So, you know, we got 10 offensive linemen working with Coach Merrick while all the other ones are over there working with Coach Harris on D-line, right? And then the next day we flip-flop. So now Coach Harris gets the top defensive lineman, and then Coach Merrick gets the rest of the offensive lineman. So it gives us more of a one-on-one chance to work with our guys versus having all 27 offensive linemen down there working together and doing that. You're just standing around because only five guys typically are out there at a time. So it gives us a chance to get more reps and be more efficient in our time. And then on the flip side, team bonding, team building, we have what we call accountability groups in each senior. So we have eight seniors. They each have a team, and they're in charge of kind of six to eight players, depending on their team. And they've gone out and done things in the community to really hone in on just getting to know people outside the position groups and be more of a team and cohesiveness as a unit, more so than just positions. Because it can get very cliquish, right? Like you're around the same guys 24/7. It's like a family, right? If you have a sibling and you have to share a room, you're going to bicker, you're going to fight, you're going to do all that. But if you have separate rooms, then you get a little bit more time to yourself, space out, and do different things. So we try to intermingle and intermix guys in different ways and create accountability and leadership through that. And it really just brings the team together. And that was a big part coming in. I'm more of a defensive guy. I've been on the defensive side of the ball my whole life for the most part. And I just didn't want to be focused on defense. I want to be in both huddles. I want to have an opportunity to get to know all 47 guys, 48 guys are on the team. So I'm going to call the special teams. And that's kind of where, you know, as a coach, you got everybody at your disposal, and do some things that.
Yeah. It's, extremely important with the very first thing you said, to have the guys used to working with other people, because, well, I don't know if you heard about the Princeton game last year.
Yeah.
We
got flick flies.
Yes. Yeah. Our fullback, our leading receiver, our quarterback, and, won it with, duct tape, coat hangers, and grit. And it was just amazing that they were able to come back and do that. But, you know, you got to have different people prepared to step up. And I know that the cool phrase nowadays is next man up.
Yeah.
It's been that way for decades.
Right.
It's just the terminology changes, but,
yeah.
But you're doing terrific. If you're mixing and matching those guys, you want the first five comfortable with each other, knowing how each other are going to move on every single play. But I also, in a blink of an eye, one guy can change.
Right.
So they've got to be ready to do that. It sounds like you're planning for whatever can happen.
Yeah. And the offensive line's a whole nother beast. I mean, you got five guys working as one.
Yep.
Every other position, it's a little bit more individualistic. But we have a couple guys that are kind of utility knives that can play multiple positions and move around. And we got some that are, you know, they're really good at what they do and just get to be the best at your spot.
Who are some of those, as you call them, utility knives?
Yeah, Trevin Bell is one of them. Gavin Shue can play multiple positions. Those are kind of the two that we can lean on. That if we need to move a guy around, we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're big up front, and we got to lean on that. And, you know, we're big in the backfield. And on offense, we call it the front seven. You got your quarterback, your running back, and your five offensive linemen. On defense, we call it front six. We're gonna be a little bit more of a 30 stack. So three defensive linemen, three linebackers. You know, I think in both realms, you take the quarterback out of the equation because he's normally not, you know, big as far as stature goes. But I think we might only have one guy under 200 pounds right now in the front line. So, that's important because that gives us a chance to move the ball and establish a run game. If you can run the ball consistently for four quarters and you can stop the run consistently for four quarters, stats show that you got a really, really good chance to win football.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I wanted to know too, I should have asked you this earlier, but you came in and kids have been hitting the weights and all. Have there been some players that, not coming from last year, what I'm getting at is some players that maybe were lower on the depth chart, just kind of from last season, didn't distinguish themselves much, but you know, as you know, kids don't grow in a uniform rate. Sometimes they'll have a huge growth spurt, whether it's physically or mentally or just skills wise.
Yeah.
And so what I'm getting at is you have some guys that were nowhere on the depth chart and through hard work and weightlifting and everything else. Now all of a sudden, hey, we got to play this guy. He deserves to be on the field. You got anybody like that came out of nowhere?
Well, I've been here with the team for about 3 months. So, you know, my starting point was kind of like May. So
yeah, no, it's a tough question to ask. A little
different. But just from, you know, kind of what I've seen, Waz Biggerstaff has gotten a lot better just in those 3 months. You know, Maddox Ali is going to be a big part of what we do and how we do it. I know he's got a little bit of playing time under his belt. You know, and then, you know, Johnny Crow moving from wide receiver to having injuries to going quarterback. That's a big step. So I've noticed some of those guys they're going to make some big changes and do some things. Waz, going back to Waz, he's awesome in the weight room. He's a good leader. He's part of the leadership council. You know, he's going to have a big part of our defense and our offense as a young player. You know, that's a big workload and he's handled it really well.
Yeah. He's just from watching him on the basketball court last year, he seems to be mature, mentally, emotionally. I mean, physically he's young and he will grow. He's got some hands on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a big frame with a long body. Yeah. He's built like a basketball player. He's built like a wide receiver.
Yeah.
From there. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Johnny Crow, I was pleased to see him at quarterback because he's, you know, as a basketball player, he's got the feet. He's got good hands. And, last night, you know, that it was a good rule to have touch the quarterback plays over, but I'm thinking Johnny Crow can, if the receivers are covered, rather than throw it to the cheerleaders, he can run and pick you up some yards.
Yeah. You know, he's athletic. He's played wide out. He's had the ball in his hands before in different ways. Being a basketball player, you know, he moves well. He's got some change of direction type stuff. You know, he just hadn't been a quarterback for a long time. And, you know, getting that kind of rhythm is what he needs, is understanding of like the progression of a pass play, or, you know, in a run play, if it's a zone read, getting that read. You know, he doesn't have a lot of those reps. So, you know, last night was a good, good test for him to see where he's at and see what we can do offensively to build around him.
Yeah. A little different than a, you know, being a Snodgrass where you've been a quarterback since you were four. Yep. And growing up. But Johnny last year got, in the Princeton game, he was put in as a safety or a defensive. I don't know what exact, I think he was safety, one of the defensive backs, and, basically, you know, swat down long passes that they were trying to throw. And I, when I talked to Coach Fisher about it, he was nervous a little bit because he hadn't played back there very often. I said, hey, look, you got a basketball player. He can run and jump, and that's what you need. Plus, Logan Clowers was kind of the leader back there. And at the crucial moment, Clowers went in and made the interception, but Johnny Crow's been tossed into some unfamiliar spots. He gets through physically. He's, you know, he's got plenty of tools, and mentally he's shown some toughness by coming through when, you know, he was maybe not prepared. And I don't mean that it was his fault, but I just meant, you know, next man up, you're tossed into the fire sometimes. Right. But, tell you what, let's take our break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the, upcoming opponent that is the bus trip to Forest Park. And with that, you're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your final segment of the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, MountVernonRadio.com. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Brad Higginson, and we've talked about him. We've talked about the scrimmage last night. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Forest Park, the upcoming game. And as I will say, we really don't know a whole lot. I mean, first game of the season, we're not going to know much about our opponent. Their record's the same as ours, 0-0. And thing is, you've got, well, we're still going to have some heat this week, so you're going to have to battle that, and you're going to have a road trip. Have you got things planned out as far as what this week's going to look like, including, you know, Thursday night, I guess, a team meal possibly, and when the bus is leaving and everything? Because when I used to coach, my teams got off the bus as if they were still asleep, and you got to get off the bus and ready to go. Have you got all those things planned out?
Yeah, for sure. So just kind of the weekly schedule. Monday's going to be a corrections day from the scrimmage. You know, moving on to Forest Park, you know, get our guys mentally prepared for what they're going to see, formation adjustments, what we're going to do offensively to attack what they do defensively. You know, the first game of the season is always the hardest one just because there's a lot of unknowns. There's going to be things that get thrown at you that you haven't been seen and that you haven't prepared for as a player. Then, you know, you've got to make adjustments on the fly and make adjustments in the huddle and things like that. So those are always, you know, preparing them for those as much as you can on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday will be get after a day. We want to, you know, be physical and teach physicality throughout the week and have different segments where we can tackle and have different segments where we can pull the chain back and say, hey, look, you know, we're working on this or we're focused on that. Try to get as much good on good action as we can. Thursday will be kind of what we call a kick script and talk about situational football. You know, preparing them for a backed up situation or a red zone goal line situation. You know, making sure that we understand what onside kick looks like, what hands team look like, all the different functions of a football game. So when they get there, right, that Bill Belichick mindset of you're prepared for everything, even if you don't eat type of stuff. And then, you know, Friday's game day. You know, we got to leave a little earlier because Forest Park's, you know, pretty far, trip. So we'll leave as soon as school is out. Get there about, hopefully about 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes before kickoff. Get the guys out, dressed, move out, moving around. We'll go out on the field about an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff and go through our stretching and, agilities and practice and all that good stuff before kickoff.
With a game like that, like you said, getting there a couple hours ahead of time, how do the guys eat? Do they just take a snack on the bus or?
So we, through the generation of, you know, our POPS program and, you know, the fundraising that we do in the summer and we just finished one, we're able to feed them something before they get on the bus and they kind of like a pregame meal. And, we give them that and some water and get them on the bus and get them going. So they have something in their system. We like to, you know, three and a half hours before contest, right. Let it settle.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. You're not going to feed them when they get off the bus up there, but get everything in them now and, make sure it's not heavy on the pizza. That's easy on the sleigh.
We had turkey sandwiches last night. We'll probably have some kind of sub sandwich, and things like that. And, you know, bag of chips and let them go. Maybe some fruit and get them going.
Yeah.
But it's really the preparation in the week. We talk about it all the time. Eating right, making sure that you're, in good peak physical condition, making sure you're hydrated. To my knowledge, I don't know if we had any cramps last night.
Didn't look like it. You didn't don't want to point the finger at Harrison, but they had several players stay down after plays. Never like to see that. I want to see everybody healthy going in and coming out.
Right.
So, but Mount Vernon, again, you're right, didn't have any cramp issues, and we rarely do, although – last night sure would have been a time for it.
Yeah, it's hot, but we prepare them mentally and physically every week. We have, like I said, through the generosity of our donors and our community and our support, we got protein after every workout. We get, hydration twice a week, depending on what it's like. This week they got two, some weeks they only get one. The hydration drinks aren't just Gatorade, they're the Boost electrolytes, the Prime Energy type. They're the drinks that the Gatorlytes or the Prime Energy, where they get the more than the Gatorade would give you.
Sure.
You just pour it in your bottle, shake it up, and they get you those kind of boost, stuff like that. You can't have too many in a week or it'll start affecting you.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm, old school. When I coached, it was leather helmet days and stuff, but we had, I always said, drink sip water throughout the day.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you get to practice and guzzle. That doesn't do you any good. All you do is go to the bathroom, but sip it throughout the day and it gets you fully hydrated. And then if you do that, you're liable to not get thirsty at all during a practice. That, with the exception here, this with this 95 degrees and stuff, you're going to get thirsty regardless.
Absolutely.
Is that still the same has the theories changed nowadays?
Science and technology tell you for every two bottles of water, drink a bottle of Gatorade. Don't just drink water. Don't just drink Gatorade. You want to mix them together, to prevent those cramping and muscle fatigues and, the stretching, the breathing, and all of those things come into play. Coach Boyer, who's our strength and conditioning coach here, and he works with them every day, for in the weight room and mind preparation and all that stuff. So we're constantly on them about, mental and physical health and keeping them healthy as much as possible and make sure that they're doing what they need to do on and off the field and in the classroom and all that stuff.
Sure. They think you sound like their mom, telling them to eat right and do all that sort of thing. But, we had, a few years back, there was a basketball player, and I commented to Coach, I said, he doesn't look like he's changed much over the years. And he just shook his head and said, his diet's awful. He's just candy and just, he just doesn't, And it's even more critical with football players, I think. And I don't mean to besmirch basketball players. I was one. But with football, it is extremely important to do all the things that you just described. And do they receive that message well, or do they roll their eyes?
No, they do. They take it serious. I mean, they don't just hear it from me. They hear from Coach Boyer. They hear from our coaches. We talk to our parents in our parent meeting about it, communicate with them. So
same message across the board.
Coach Latshaw, our athletic director, will walk in and she'll remind them. you know, you don't want to hear it all from one voice. You want it to come from everybody, because if everybody's telling you, you better start listening, right?
Absolutely.
You kind of get tired of hearing from one voice all the time. Mm-hmm. So try to bring in a guest speaker once a week to kind of. Yeah.
If it comes from Lee Latshaw, they better do it.
She's awesome. We have a lot of great conversations. She's been a great mentor so far, just kind of getting the reins roped in and what we need to do and what we can't do. You know, coming from college to high school, a lot of rule changes and different things as far as, you know, how long you can practice, what the temperature is outside when you can practice. She's been awesome about that and giving us the free reins to ask questions. And, you know, I'm not going to do anything without getting approval first, obviously. And that's an important part of that communication. You know, obviously my role here is a, you know, teacher and a football coach and assistant AD. You know, I got a lot of different people I can, you know, count on and lean on, and, been open arms and helped me get adjusted to, you know, moving back to Southern Indiana.
Yeah, that's great. When I started, broadcasting for Mount Vernon, I met Ms. Latshaw. And one of the first questions I asked her was, how many kids did she have? And she said, I don't know, 573, whatever. And I thought, okay, that's just the answer that she gave. I've seen she believes it. She does it every day. She's wholeheartedly in support of these kids, and they are all her kids.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's a terrific resource. And last winter, I saw she got a huge award. I don't remember if it was from the state or what have you. It was a huge award. And then, we were going to announce it, make a big deal out of it. And then there was I don't remember if it was a tornado came through or something that we thought we better put that on the back burner. And then we never got back to it, but she's being recognized for her contributions and everything she does. So you got a really good resource there. What would you like to discuss that I have not asked, or which there's something I should have asked you and haven't?
You know, just outlook for the season. Kids are working hard. They're really putting in the time and the energy. They're focused on the details. We got to clean some things up from last night, but you know, the biggest thing is moving forward prep wise. You know, and you talked about our schedule. I mean, You look at our conference, we're split into divisions, right? You know, we're obviously in the bigger school division. We got to go to Gibson Southern. Heritage Hills has to come to us. We got Southridge on the schedule. You know, we got North Posey. You know, we get an opportunity to play some really good teams in the first nine games, right?
Yep.
And that's going to get us battle tested. And then you go to our section. You got the Memorials and the Gibson Southerns and the, you know,
Martin Central's coming over that, we used to, before Mount Vernon, Chris and I broadcasted, excuse me, at Modern Day, and they, and the regionals would go over and play Cordon Central. They've got a great program. They're consistently good. So they're not going to be a cupcake from out of town joining our sectional. It's another tough one to win.
I mean, our sectional historically, right, is one that if you can win our sectional, you're probably going to go deep into the playoffs and get an opportunity to, you know, potentially hoist the banner and state championship and all those things. And I think our schedule is set up pretty good for us to kind of build up to some of those more challenging games where we know that we're going to be in a dogfight every day. But the main thing is the main thing. We want to have a 1-0 mindset. We want to go to each week with a almost a faceless opponent. Doesn't matter who we line up against. We can't beat ourselves. You know, our goals for the season are right there on the board. You know, we want to have a positive turnover margin. We want to win the field position battles. You know, we got to create explosive plays and eliminate explosive plays from a defensive perspective. So we got to win third down. I didn't think we did a really good job last night. We stick to that third down of, you know, gearing up and putting ourselves. Now we're not game planning in those situations. And then, you know, personal fouls, you know, you can't have any of those. Those are drive killers and game killers. Like, you know, you could give the other team the advantage or change the momentum by just making a silly mistake. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time. You know, and those are the core things that we're going to focus on in daily preparation, because it doesn't matter who you play. It doesn't matter if you run for 1 yard or 500 yards, right? Those are the critical moments in the game that if you can win those situations, you're going to have a better opportunity to win.
Absolutely. One thing I will, historically, Mount Vernon has very, very few personal fouls. We just, their comportment is very good on the field. So that's one thing I've always been proud to broadcast from Mount Vernon. I didn't have to worry about kids behaving such a way that it was an embarrassment to the school or, you know, to anybody associated. So that's pretty good. And, as far as, penalties, Mount Vernon typically doesn't get penalized a whole lot. I mean, they learn the rules and don't cheat, basically. Yeah. Although you're going to get caught once in a while. Those things will happen. And
they say you can throw a flag on every play, and that's true. You know, holding is always a big one. That's a drive killer. But, you know, it's just understanding body control and hand placement. You know, Maddox made a really good play in the end zone, and they got called for pass interference. And really, it's just understanding the when to look for the ball and not get your hands off the guy, you know, when you're in good positions, find the ball and things like that. You know, the jumping off sides or false starts, things like that,
that's what last night was for.
Yeah. You know, it's getting those out of your way and, you know, you can remind them about those on Monday and that kind of stuff, from there. But, you know, last night, you know, as far as X's and O's, you know, saw some good things, saw some bad things, just got to drive forward. Fix the bad and build on the good.
Yeah.
Continue to roll.
Yeah. And I like your approach to focus on what you all can do and do better. You're playing against your own potential, not the opponent across the line.
Yeah. And just be prepared.
Yeah. With that, let's see. Game time is 6:30 Central Time.
I believe so.
Okay. We're going with that, but check your local listings and everything later in the week. And if there's any going to be any kind of a heat modification, we'll know that later in the week as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of social media outlets now. You know, obviously on Facebook, there's the athletic page or the M Club. We have our own Twitter handle now for football. We have our own Instagram handle. So a lot of social media outlets that will go there to update our community on those things. And then one last quick thing. I want to thank our community. We've been out there already. We did a reading with the Wildcats this summer where our players went and read to a lot of the youth in the area at the public library. And we worked at the Posey County Fairgrounds for the Posey County Fair. And we have another big one coming up with Farm to Table during River Days, where we're going to send our players out to basically clean up and put all the tables trashed and move all those things. So, you know, community is a big part of what we do and how we do it. That's important to us as a program. And I just want to thank the community for embracing me and our players, because we put in a lot of work and we want them to know that we want to support them just as much as they want to come out on Friday night.
Absolutely. And I will say this, we said this on the air last night, there were a lot of people in the stands last night from Mount Vernon, considering they were going to sit there in the sun. You didn't have the shady side of the field. You had the sunny side. And, you know, as hot as it was and everything, we had a lot of people. They traveled well to the east side of Evansville just to watch a scrimmage. That's fantastic. So good start. And, I appreciate your time and we'll look forward to next Friday night and, have a great week of practice and thank you. And, thanks everybody for listening to the first coaches show of the year on 106.7 WMVI. I'll send it back to Dave and say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This coaches show has been brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. Keep up to date with your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.